A very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station in the land. And you're welcome and thanks for joining us at this point in time. It's a pleasure having you. That's a pleasure joining us. It's a pleasure for us to be in your company at this point in time. So good morning to you. How is your morning? Is it all right? Are you okay? Is your right? You know, as you liquor, huh? So good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. And our time is a Tuesday morning. We're getting there slowly by slowly. So we're getting there. So it's a Tuesday morning, the 3rd of February. The year is 2026. So how's your year so far? So how is 2026 actually treating you so far? And how is this morning treating you so far? So welcome. Thanks to David. Thanks for handing over the mic to the big one. From the Ondangwa studio. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. And welcome. I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock when I will be handing over to Mbarangaja. That will be coming with Amosha at 10 o'clock. Make sure that you are tuning for that as well. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day. It's Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business news, economic news, and political news. Every weekday, we cut through the line and we cut through the noise to make sense of big stories, you know, trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear here, a little witty sometimes, and you know, always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views are shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation, so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack, with us the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So our time is about 6 minutes past the hour of eight. Welcome if you're just joining us. It's a very good morning. We had a few drops last time, up in day before yesterday, I think. It's a bit hot again. So here you enjoy the time. You enjoy the weather when it comes. When the weather is good, enjoy it at that time. So because you never know how long that's gonna last. So I hope there's a good weather in wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. So how is the weather in Katima, in Rundu, that part of the world? Normally at this time, oh, it's nice and green. You just want to be there. Yeah. So yeah. And those beautiful flowers in the south. So good morning. And how is your region at this point in time? As you have received some showers, as you have received some rain, this is where now you see so beautiful, so beautiful. Yeah. All right. Welcome. And, as usual, we start, this is your first time, we normally start with, looking at what is happening, what happened in Africa on this day in Africa. So good morning, Africa, and welcome to another segment of On This Day in Africa. So today we are looking back at some powerful moments that shape our continent. So first up, let's turn the clock back to 1985 on this day. A giant of a man, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, was appointed as the first black Anglican bishop of Johannesburg. So this wasn't, it wasn't just a promotion. It was a huge moment, for South Africa. It gave Archbishop Tutu an even bigger microphone, if you want, to speak against the terrible injustice of apartheid and to be a powerful voice for all those fighting for freedom. And staying in South Africa, but jumping forward to 1992, on this day, two men who were once on opposite side of a huge divide stood together. So these were once on the opposite side of a huge divide. Now they stood together. Yeah, President F.W. de Klerk and the soon-to-be then President Nelson Mandela were jointly awarded the UNESCO Peace Prize. So the world was recognizing their incredible leadership in peace, in peacefully dismantling apartheid and guiding the nation towards democracy. So that was a real lesson in putting the country first. Now let's go back even further to 1967, to 1976. Now imagine trying to pick a new capital city for a country as big as Nigeria. So, well, on this day, that's exactly what happened. The city of Abuja was chosen to replace Lagos as the new capital. So it was a massive decision as seen as a major step forward in the country's development and politics. So in Mozambique, every February the 3rd is a very special day. It's a Heroes Day, also known as a Martyrs Day. So it's a time for the nation to stop and remember the brave people who fought and died for Mozambique's independence. So a day of solemn remembrance and gratitude. And finally, a more recent memory from 2020. On this day, Kenya lost a man who was a central figure in its history for a quarter of a century. Former President Daniel Arap Moi passed away at the age of 95. He led the country for nearly 25 years, and his death marked the end of an era for many Kenyans. Well, that's our look back at on this day in Africa. Thanks for joining me. Until next time, when we're looking at another day in the history of Africa. So good morning and welcome. So when we come back, we look at what is our thought for the day this morning.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, this is your number one talk radio station. A very good morning to you if you're just joining us. And this is Unpacking the Day. It's a Tuesday morning. So the Tuesday morning, February the 3rd, what is our thought for the day? If those with horns can't manage, what about those without them? If those with horns can't manage, what about those without? Now, this proverbs conveys that if even the strong or privileged cannot cope with a challenge, those who are weaker or maybe disadvantaged have definitely no chance at all. Now, the saying warns against expecting success from the vulnerable when even the powerful, you know, fail. So in short, the proverb means if the strong and powerful are failing, then the weak and vulnerable have no hope at all. So you might hear this proverb used in a situation like maybe say in politics, the government can't seem to stop the inflation, and the how you use is then if those with horns can't imagine, can't manage, what about those without them? So meaning if the leader can't fix the economy, for example, ordinary people are definitely going to suffer. So yeah, that's the our thought for the day today, that if those with horns can't manage, what about those without them? So yeah, this situation where we find ourselves in terms of the economy and all this, whatever choices you make and decisions, make sure, think about those without horn. If you with horn can't manage, what about those without? So that's the challenge. That's the thought of the day today. So, and good morning and a warm welcome to you. A warm welcome to you. So today what we have for you and what we invite you to unpack with us on the show this morning, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah has urgently called on her cabinet yesterday to fast track the implementation of the country's 6 national development plan, NDP 6, and she was citing that there is limited time to achieve the results, so we have to fast track the implementation as soon as possible. So that's what we're going to look at. And probably one thing I want to do also is looking at, it's too early. It's just a year, almost a year. But we can also looking at, you know, how far really we gone. We're looking at the last, we're going to look at at one point looking at the, at last administration, you know, at the last administrations. So, are there certain things that has improved? Of course, there are certain things that have improved, you know, but then there are still pertinent issues that has improved at all. And also looking at where are we improving? You know, as we say, you know, it's business unusual. So is that just a rhetoric or that's a reality that we feel in our communities? So yes, we're gonna look at that, and of course, if we still have time, looking at other stories that also making headlines. So, and your participation is part of this. It's what make this show. So I would expect you to unpack this with me. So please do join me unpacking our next stories. So good morning.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. Very good morning to you, my dear listener, and welcome. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. It's a Tuesday morning. Yesterday, President Nandi-Ndaitwah has opened a cabinet for 2026. It's a new month. It's a new year. So we're looking forward to this year. And hopefully the cabinet is also looking forward to the year. So, and her message wasn't just the usual political presentries, you know. So this was a warning from my perspective when I listened to yesterday. I think it was a warning, a call to action. So it's a warning, it's a call to action. And frankly, it raises more questions than answers, okay? It raises more questions than it answers, actually. So, yeah, President Netumpo has gathered her top team yesterday and the cabinet and for their first meeting of the year. So that was actually their first meeting of the year. And the message, as I said, it was very clear. The clock is ticking, you know. That's what she said. The clock is ticking loudly, very loudly. Now, what did the president say? Now, the president opened, she said two big things, all right? So the president actually said two big things. One, the world is changing fast. So one of the messages that she said is that the world is really changing fast. You know, big countries are breaking the rules, you know, so, and this makes life harder for small countries like Namibia. So, and she kind of like, we need to be careful and protect ourselves, you know? Yeah, she told her ministers, they need to speed up things. And secondly, as she told her ministers to speed up things, her government has only 4 years left to deliver. So time is running out. She told her ministers, they must work faster to fast track the country's big plan for the future, which is actually a sixth national development plan, the NDP 6. Now, she wants fast work on the Namibian development plan, better education, more jobs, better service for all Namibians. So, yeah, but why the sudden rush? Why, you know, this sudden rush? As I said, the president is saying the world orders, as we know it, it is crumbling. So the president said, well, the world orders is crumbling. The multilateral system, you know, the United Nations, the international law, all those framework built after World War II, they are being bypassed. There are strong countries that are bypassing those laws and ignoring those laws. So big powers are making decisions that affect small countries like Namibia without consulting anyone, you know? So the president actually, the president's message to her team was this: in this messy world, so he said, in this messy world, Namibia must stand firm. We must stand firm. We must stick to our principle. We must stick to our principles. We believe every country is equal. We believe in solving problem with talking. So that's what Namibians believe. We believe that we believe in talking, not fighting. We know what that's like. That's why we believe in this principle. So we believe in respecting international law, because it's international law that get us where we are in the first place. So the president says our position remains firm. Remain firm. So we believe in sovereignty, equality among the nations, peaceful resolution of conflict. So those are really beautiful, beautiful principle. So that's what the president actually, you know, say. Now, this all sounds good. It all sounds good and noble. But it also raises critical questions. Okay. It also raises critical question in a world where now, so if you say, well, the big players are bending the rules to get ahead. Now, what does it cost us? What would it cost us to be the good guy? Does this has consequences? If we have the big guys, you know, the big players are bending the rule to, you know, to get ahead. So, these are now, and I'm talking about, we need to, we, for us, we say, our position remain firm. We believe in these principles, these beautiful principles. But the question is, what does it cost? Is it costing us? Would that cost us actually to be this nice guy, this good guy? While others are actually breaking the law or bending the rules. Now, if we stick to our principle for that, could we miss out? Maybe could we miss out on trade deals? Could we lose out on aid? Is there a price for our integrity? So what I'm saying is this. She has talked a lot about geopolitics, you know, and she's talking about, you know, the world is changing. So where you actually have to make choice, sometimes you have to make choice. We're talking about this, that we believe in, you know, in peaceful resolution of conflict. We believe in equality among the nations, you know, but now the world is pushing these small nations actually to make choice. You know, you either with us or you with them. So now I'm asking, if we stick to our principle, you know, could we miss out? Could that mean maybe we miss out on trade deals? So if we said, no, we're not going to be with Russia or with China or with US, so where are you? Could you possibly maybe miss out on, let's say, for example, trade deals, or could we lose out on maybe aid? So come sometime drought. Now, your friend would say, look, well, you have chose to be with America, so we're not going to help you. So is there a price for our integrity? Are we forced actually to make choices that we don't want to make? So, and the president is really grappling with these issues. He said, guys, we live in the world that is really changing. It's not the same world that we know anymore. So how do we turn those principles now? How do we turn this principle into practical policies? You know, that protect Namibia interests, that protect our interests when the world is playing dirty. We see now the world is playing dirty. So we somehow have to look at, okay, we have this principle. How do we turn them into policy, practical policies? I would say practical policies that actually has to protect Namibia's interests. So when we see that everybody, that's something that I think from the speech of the president, you know, from she highlighting some of these issues, you know, especially when it's come to geopolitics and fragmentations and protectionisms and all those new terms that are coming up and where the world is actually, you know, moving. So yeah, and that's the global picture. Let's bring it back home, all right? Because this unstable world is the backdrop for the president's main point. You know, we need to get our own house in order. Basically, that's as I said, it's a backdrop for the president's main point, which is we need to get our own house in order, and we need to do it fast. So that's what the president said. We need to do it fast. Now, she told her cabinet ministers that the time is running out. The time is running out. This government is now in its fourth, first year. So is this the first year? So they have one more, you know, they still have some more years to go before they have to answer to you, the voters, before they start to answer. And they're looking at only 4 years left. And their main report card, when you look at maybe now, when they're looking at their main report card, is this thing in this, on NDP6, that will be now their main report card, kind of like a report card, like when you come from school. What is your report card? That's what we're looking at. We're also looking at the report card now of the NDP6 right now. So what so far? So for almost a year and some months now. What have you achieved? What have you achieved? You know, let's look at your main report card. Each ministry, what have you? There are some ministries that have done quite well. They are tangible, something that you can touch, changes that you can feel and see. But there's still a lot. There's still quite a lot that are dragging, that are lagging. So, yeah, and this will be the government 5-year plan. As I said, the NDP is the government 5-year plan, and it's the big to-do list for how we build the economy, how we create jobs, improving schools and hospitals. Make sure that you read it, so that you know, you as a card, it's like a main report card, so that you can say, how far are you now? Yeah? How far are you now with creating the jobs? How far are you now building the economy? How far are you now improving schools and hospitals and ultimately trying? How far are we to achieve Vision 2030? That's your scorecard. You know, that's how we judge, that's how we judge performance. It's not only don't listen to, you know, to any of the either even the president himself or the minister or whoever. Have the scorecard. Do you have the NDP6? Do you have it? Do you know what is NDP6? Because if you can't complain without actually knowing what is in there. You can't complain without knowing what is in there. Know what is promised. Do you know how many jobs were created? Well, how many jobs are created from now until 2030? You know? Do you know how many jobs? How far are we? How far are we on creating jobs that we have promised? We're coming back. We're unpacking this.
Great news. Inbird just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Inbird? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
So welcome back. So, yeah, thanks for joining us this morning. We unpacking the president's message to the cabinet yesterday of fast-tracking the plan of NDP6. So, and when the president say fast track this plan, she essentially saying the pace is too slow. She's essentially saying the pace is too slow. The result aren't coming quick enough. Yeah? That's what the president said. The result are not coming quick enough. So, and she kept using this phrase, business unusual. And she stressed that it is not just a slogan anymore. She say it is a global necessity. So the old way of doing things just don't work in this new fast changing world. So it's business unusual. So the old way of doing things, it just don't work in this new fast changing world. So that's a very interesting, you know, it's a very interesting take. You know, it's a kind of looking, we are in a different world now, but what if we are now in a different world, but actually still using the old system? What if you are in a different world where you actually acknowledge that, and where you need now to, you know, to use new way of doing things, but you're still actually stuck in the old system? So what does business, you know, unusual mean for our government? What does business unusual mean for you? Well, see, She gave a clue. I think she gave us a clue by focusing on education. Okay? If you listen very well, she gave us a clue yesterday by focusing on education. She praised the slight improvement in the last year, in the last year's grade 11 and grade 12 results. Now, but she made it clear that slight improvement is not good enough. She wants better. So she made that very clear. So then business unusual in education might mean holding teachers and principal more accountable for the results. Well, the parents as well. We keep on focusing on only on the teachers, but it means that, you know, then business unusual, when it comes to education, might mean holding, you know, stakeholders, teachers, principals, parents, more accountable for the results. Well, it might mean creative ways of teaching. So creative way of teaching, it might mean finally tackling the issues of schools that lack proper toilet. Like as we read the other time in Dama, in Rundu and all that. So, yeah, tackling those issues of schools that lack proper toilet or maybe textbooks. So is that business unusual? Would that be what it means? And she also mentioned the new funding model for university students. That is a kind of like that is a real example of business unusual. So a new way of doing things to try and solve an old problem. The question is it working? Is it working? So, and this push now, this push for business unusual need now to happen in every ministry. So need to happen in every ministry, in works and transport, in health, in home affair, in all the ministries. So let me ask you this. Now, if you were the minister, okay, if you were the minister, what would business unusual look like in your ministry? What would it look like? What is that one big, slow, frustrating process you would change overnight, okay, to make life better for Namibians? What is that? Maybe that's the guide. Maybe that's how we need to look at this. Okay? What is that slow, slow, frustrating process? Because you remember at the beginning, the president also said, not yesterday, but when she was just inaugurated, that if there are processes or policies that actually hindering, you know, service delivery, get rid of it. Change it. So that's why I'm asking, if you were a minister now, what have you done? If you were a minister, what would this business unusual? What would that be business unusual for? How would it look like for your ministry? What would you have changed? So because we still need to see that. We still need to see for many, 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 many ministries. Well, there are some ministries that are, as I said, you can touch it, you can feel it. There is some changes, there is some movement, even if they are very slow, but you can touch it and feel it and see it, and you can be able to see it. But there are still a lot of others that are at the standstill. All right? So, now, the president say the road ahead won't be easy. She calling for empathy and accountability. I love the word accountability. She want pragmatism, integrity, meritocracy, you know, all those words, meritocracy and inclusive, you know. So she want all these beautiful values. These are beautiful values. But let me ask you this, okay, my dear people, my dear listener. Do you see these values, those values that you have mentioned, pragmatism, integrity, meritocracy, inclusivity? Do you see these values reflected how government operates? When you go to government office, do you experience empathy Yeah? So most, I'm not saying in every government office that's the case, but, you know, what is the general experience, you know, your experience when you go to government office? Do you experience empathy? Maybe the reason why she actually mentioning this is because of what she know what is going on. Do you experience empathy? When you hear about how public money is spent over the years, when you hear about how public money is spent, you know, we even have the auditors general report and all this. Do you see accountability? There has been auditor general's report and money, how the money has been spent. There are so many money that's unaccounted, you know, or mismanaged or whatever, you know. The list goes on. Now, when we're talking about integrity, meritocracy, you know, inclusivity, so accountability. When you hear about how public money is spent, do you see accountability? And those are serious, serious questions now. Yeah, do you see accountability? When you look at who gets appointed to what position, do you see meritocracy? Do you see meritocracy? Because the truth is, sometimes you can have the best plan in the world. Eh? You can have the best plan in the world. You can have the most inspiring speeches. But if the people implementing those plans are incompetent, corrupt, or simply don't care, as I said, sometimes or simply don't care, and Mandume called them the old cockroaches, yeah, nothing will change. Nothing will change. So the president may inherit. Be able to say, look, I need this. I need you guys to fast track this. I need you to do this. And, but the question is, are those who are implementing the plans competent enough? Do they care? Or they just get in the old mood? And that's why I was asking earlier, said, you're looking at the new world and you said, no, we need to do things different, business unusual. But what are you using? You're using the old, you know, way of doing things. So you're using the old system. So yes, we are here. You know, it's like we are now, what is it? We Bluetooth, and then you're still actually using stiffy. You know, what do you put on the, stiffy. Yeah, that floppy disk. Maybe you're still actually using those floppy disk actually to transfer your information. Imagine you don't even have that available anymore. So there are no port for that anymore. So maybe you still actually use stiffy, the floppy disk. You're still using that floppy disk. So which doesn't work. You're still actually having the old, we still have some old guard that has been being reshuffled from years after years. Yeah? How do you expect, you know, now to, you know, things to change? Because you're still using the same system. Yeah? The people implementing those plans, maybe they are incompetent, corrupt, simply don't care, you know, then nothing will definitely change. So the president is calling for unity and discipline. She's saying public servant must deliver results, which is actually what we want and what we want to hear. Yes, they must deliver the result. But what happened when they don't? And what happened when they don't? What are the consequences? We also need that. What are the consequences? We need to see the head spinning. What are the consequences? Do ministers who fail to deliver face any real accountability? What happens if you are CEO in an institution and you fail actually to deliver. What happened? Eh? Or do they just get reshuffled for another? And this is another, that's the things we're talking about, accountability, and what are the real consequences? Because the president said unity and discipline, saying public servant must deliver results. And what happened when they don't? What are the consequences? We need to see consequences. Eh? Well, as I said, there are some ministries where you can see, touch it, you know, where slowly, it might be slow. And when you have one or two people who are only doing this, you know, sooner or later, and there are people fighting for them. There are people fighting them. Eh? But just an example, or maybe it's us who are doing that as journalists, you know, principled by principled, you know, Sankwasa, I'm not defending any Sankwasa here, but so it's actually looking at you pushing people actually to, in general terms, that, you know, we can't be pushing people to, you know, to pay water when we don't pay our water ourselves. And some people went and dig up Minister Sankwasa's water, you know, water bills and said, well, you know, you're being hypocritical. You know, it's not really, for me, I don't see it in that way. I don't see it hypocritical. Just to say, you know, you can't say, I mean, you're saying we can't be pushing other people when we are, does it mean because I'm doing something, I shouldn't speak about it? Do you understand? Doesn't mean because I'm also doing it. Okay, then I might just put it under the ref. Just put it under the carpet. Eh? No, you speak about it. Even if you are a culprit, you are also the culprit as well. So this is the issue. The president is asking the civil servant, you know, public servant must deliver results. But as I said, what happened when they don't? There must be also consequences. Okay? So there must be consequences. And we have seen this pattern. We have seen this pattern before. Big announcement, bold promises, then silence. As I said, I have been given example of couple of things, you know. There have been, there even money, you know. It's not just even that there's no money, you know. There even sometimes money available for some of this project. I keep going to the whole question of building stadium in every constituency. And money are available. So the other, there was also a processing plant, manufacturing plant or processing plant in each region, in all 14 regions. How far are we with that? As I said, we have seen the pattern before. Big announcement and we all clapping hands and, you know, happy. Bold promises, as you can see, some of them. And the good thing is that in some cases, there are money available. There are money made available. So, and then things just go quiet. You don't hear anything. And the worst, sometimes not even silence, or worse, excuses. So you will hear this, because there was drought, the pandemic, the global economy, there was always reasons why things don't work out. And remember what I said earlier on. You can have all, you know, nice speech and what and plan. But if people implementing those plans are incompetent, are corrupt, simply don't care, nothing will change. So we're looking at, so do we have the ingredient to make this happen? And this is also something that, you know, the president maybe have to ask himself, have I appointed? Do I have the right person actually to make sure? Now you're saying we have to fast track this. Eh? Now you're looking at what are the issues? Is it money? Is it the personnel? Is it the system? Is it the police? What is it? As I said, in the end, we will find then we will start to pointing fingers. Yeah, no, because of the, we will have start to have excuses. You know, it's because of the drought. It's because of the pandemic. It's because of this. It's because of global economy. You know, it's geopolitical. As geopolitical tensions is, you know, all those kind of things. At some point, and at some point, Namibia have a right to demand result, regardless of the circumstances. We have the right to demand the result, regardless of the circumstances. So that's what leadership is about. Finding solution, even the conditions are difficult. Let's get to the caller quickly. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Good morning, Mr. Oshoven.
Good morning, Uncle Bona. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you, sir?
The morning is okay so far. Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
We must always be thankful to God.
Of course, of course.
Who has actually provided those spiritual leaders like the Desmond Tutu that you were talking about this morning.
Yeah.
And many, many other leaders who have really inspired us.
Yeah.
Especially on the spiritual area. And this time, this side sometimes is so neglected.
Yeah.
And once it's relegated to the background, you find out, you discover that a lot of things will go bad in terms of our ethics, our conduct.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even when they are calling for the unusual business.
Yeah, the unusual business, yeah.
The unusual business. Shouldn't be a custom to us just to, you know, when you are not, just like you are lukewarm.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
When you are so much lukewarm, it means that you are neither here or there.
Actually, we call that comfort zone. You get used to what... To what you do, and you feel comfortable where you are. You're in your comfort zone, you know.
So much complacence, and you don't even see how the world is moving and the emergencies of delivering services there, effective service. Not only service, but effective. The issues, the resolutions, or whatever that really responds to the needs of the people on the ground.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can quote a lot of examples of some of the decision and directive given by the political leader.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the ground, to the operationalizing those issues,
yeah,
with programming and things like that, sometimes you also find some kind of, what is it that you mentioned? A comfort zone.
It's a comfort zone.
People are just sitting in their comfort zone.
Mm.
And they put their jacket on the table, and the door is halfway open and things like that.
Yeah.
We are told, especially from the education sector.
Mm.
So we are told that please, everywhere we are told, and the political leadership now this time around, apart from the management, because the management are not responsible for, I mean, they are not appointed by the president anyway.
Yeah.
It's only the few ministers, those who have got deputy and things like that, they're actually few. But the technocratic who are now found in those different level of organization to make sure that those things are implemented, those are the ones that we need to push in sometimes.
Not even sometimes. Don't even say sometimes. We need, look, even when you listen to the news yesterday, I was watching the news, and the parliament committee that has to do with economic and things like that, they were in the south, and they were asking, there were money given, I can't follow exactly what was that money all about. Money's there, but the jobs are not done. And I remember one of them asking, what is the problem? What is the issue that the money wasn't used? The money is available. And this has become a pattern, and it's really hurtful. You have people suffering. Really, people suffering. But money are not used. Later on, at the end of the whatever, the money goes back.
to the National Treasury.
Eh? To the National Treasury. I think that's a crime. And this is where now we're talking about accountability, that certain people, and the next thing, you will have the same person again continuing, and people continue. Sometimes it's not because there are no money. It's not that there are no money.
Don't depend on that person. Don't depend on that person. You understand? As much as we are giving a responsibility, or we want to hold that person accountable, are we ourselves? Because, you know, that person might be so blind not to identify, not to know our issues that concern us as teaching.
Yeah.
So we ourselves then have to take that person to account. Well, I mean, in the ourselves, and say, yes, this particular aspiration or dreams or promise or whatever you can call it has not been promised. And this is the amount of money that is going back to the National Treasury, and these are our needs. Were they not budgeted for? What was the problem? Is it an implementation where I talk about the management cadres who might be so reluctant and deliberately hinder the issues? I'm not saying that is the case. But then, if we ourselves as students, you know, there's also a provision in the law that says we can recall that particular person, get into conversation and engagement with the person and say, why are you not addressing this? Why is the money getting back? Because sometimes, especially where the political friction has been, especially in that side, yeah. I don't know whether the leader, Honorable Swartboy, has abandoned that issue of migrating out and then leaving the people there, and most of the councillors, I think they are combined. So if you have to run away from your ship, as a captain of the, I'm not saying that is the case, please, let them not to take me to court, but this is, I'm just saying what has been in the newspaper. So if the money has to go back, why? Is it on the capital project, perhaps? And you know that most of the southerners, they know this technical thing. When we came in the country here, when we were faced with so many challenges, they were there in the construction. They know how to do the things. So the minister is quite correct, and that maybe there is also a way of to really force these people to make sure that the money that he has been budgeted for, because you budget based on the activity that you are going to carry on in your region, for example.
Yeah.
So maybe you did not have the issue of from the president now declaration that, yes, every governor is given that responsibility to construct sport facility.
Yeah.
So if that one is not budgeted for during the last time, so the eventuality, you know, this contingent budget can also make provision for that. So let's see now how these people are going to implement this thing. If there is slow process there that is there, maybe the process, like you said, is the process that is slow. So redesign the process and make sure that you speed up and implement the activity.
Yeah, I know. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming through. Yeah, it's
one thing that is really, really, it pains. It's really something that pains, you know, where you have really, people are suffering, communities are suffering, and those who are sitting in offices completely don't know how to bring the service to the people. So eventually, you know, the leader get the blame, the president get the blame, because, you know, get them through. Let's filter from you to the minister, to the directives, to the director, to the whatever, to the very person who need to give that services. So, we need to see that. And I think as we go region, not only region, as we go down where now the service should be, I think skills and competence start to evaporate, if I can use that word, you know. No, seriously. And sometimes it's not lack of money. Seriously. Sometimes it's not the lack of money in Namibia. It's just a lack of innovation, competence, and I think that's sometimes the case. And as I said, at some point, as Namibian, have right to demand results, regardless of the distance, of circumstances. Yeah. So, Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, you know, rattled up here sometimes, you know. Yeah.
Okay, I know that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. The president.
Yeah.
And the parliamentarian. Do really these people know whom they are representing?
What do you mean in that way? What do you mean who they are representing? Yeah.
Are they, who are they? Now we are talking about accountability.
Yeah.
And I'm now expecting president to make it easier for my business in the international community.
Mm.
Are they negotiating for me to make it easier for me? Or the parliamentarian, are they addressing my issues in the state or in the government to make it easier for me?
What it means is that do you as my representative, are you actually representing my issues?
Yeah.
Or you fall into, which is a very good way to think, looking at actually to say, when we talk, we kind of like, I'm going representing a certain constituency. But once I got there, do I really, you know, now represent that constituency, or I got into tangled into maybe international issues and, you know, and completely forgot, you know, where you are, you know?
Yeah. Those are now the things that do really, Madam President, she's in the state seat there, representing every Namibian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Namibians have a lot of issues. Like now, yesterday when she was in parliament.
Yeah.
Yeah. She identified one of those things now that they say the accountability, what, all of those things that they are, she addressing.
Yeah.
But out there in the community, are they really make it different on the look of the previous president, the previous years, those NDP development, what?
Yeah. So, I actually looked at that. I went to NDP 5 and I went to Harambee Prosperity and I looked at unemployment, inequality, poverty. I look at also poverty. I will talk about it later also, but, you know, and see where we are. But it's actually getting worse, you know. And if you ask the question now, have we seen any improvement in tackling this?
Because if you look at the numbers of creating jobs, people are just creating jobs in the village, councillor or in the municipality area or whatever it is. It's continuing as a problematic.
Yeah.
It's not yet be solved to say, okay, those people now, they don't have a marketplace that they can do their thing.
Mm.
But when it comes to campaign, you are addressing those issues.
Yeah.
To the people. And that is the same thing I said. Do president knows that who is feeding this nation in terms of food and security? So because if you are not there for those people, one day you cut the hand that is feeding you.
Yeah.
And that is what happened to Zimbabwe. Because you are not representing the business community in the international level. You understand? So these are now the things that I want people to start asking themselves. When you are in parliament, whom you are representing? Because these are the things that, if you look at South Africa, for example, he destroying the business that was employed in those people.
Yeah.
On South Africa.
Yeah, no, now, you can look at, you can talk about that, you know, if there was a relation between, with the state, with a lot of business that goes to the, to America. Mm-hmm. And as a politician, and you create that intention between the two countries now, mm-hmm. now you destroy a lot of business.
A lot of business. Those are the things that I wanted to know, because
yeah.
if you look at the Americans, what are they discussing in terms of the foreign policy and the export policy,
yeah.
which they wanted to be easier with the tariff. You understand?
Yeah.
That, okay, Mr. President, you are putting the tariff to India where we are exporting this and that and that. How do we do business with this type of people?
Mm.
Yeah? So those are the type of things that we don't have such as a people in our parliament, in African state or in African government.
Yeah.
That they can think of, am I make it easier for my people? Because if you look at in the legacy of Nyoma, for example.
Yeah.
He was there for the people, for the state. He planning for the state. How do the state can stand? You understand?
Yeah.
And he adopted in some of the policies that he know. Also, my people in the independent country, they can also benefit it. You understand? Because it make it easier for everybody.
Yeah.
It was make it easier for the few, but for now, it can cater everybody.
Mm.
But if we are here to say, I'm representing my party, and even your party people, they are not benefiting.
Mm.
What is that? What are you addressing?
Yeah.
Those are the things I want to start asking ourselves. Because if you look at this, traditionally, readers, that is the one they say, I want him to be a part of the parliamentarian. To do what? If you already gave an organization that you can also addressing the issue to the president. Because you are recognized by the government, right?
Mm.
You have to discussing this among your people.
Exactly.
What you are representing. And yeah. then you're taking the issue, that problem to the office of the president. Nobody is cutting you out. But you wanting to be a part of the parliament, which means you want a salary. So, Mike, those are the issues that we have.
Yeah.
The
other thing, alluding to what probably, I mean, touching to what you're saying is that if we know, say, for example, we know we import 60% of our, maybe of our food come from outside. 60%. Now we have now the green schemes. We have the Atunda of this world. Have we made this like, okay, we need to address these issues of food security. And then it's not just, okay, we're putting money into this to see how this is going, but really to say we need to change this, the direction where we're moving. Eh?
Yes.
So
yes,
it becomes a deliberate, you know, action to say this is what is going to happen and is going to improve ABC, you know.
And we have no such as a people. We are just having those who are drafted the speech.
Yeah.
They are starting now doing the research, sleepless nights in to do the research and putting words there, and then tomorrow we'll come and address the people. But
yeah.
if they ask, what have you done to making that thing work?
Yeah.
You will get angry. So those are the things that I'm saying. It's not a use to say NDP won, Harambe what, while we didn't see any improving of lives there. So
yeah.
those are the problems I'm having to say. When we are representing those investors inside the country, what about outside? Are they really happy to what you see, or are they really joining with our people, with our business people? Because if you look at the gas, the natural gas, for example, Namibia and Mozambique, they are the one that is producing more.
Yeah.
But there is no Namibian investors that they are investing in the natural gas.
Exactly.
Which is South Africa
yeah.
selling.
Mm.
You understand? Who is there to addressing those issues that, look, South Africa doesn't have natural gas, but he's the one who are selling, buying somewhere and come and sell to Namibia.
And we have the natural gas.
And we have a natural gas. Yeah. Why we are not addressing this issue? And that is what we are talking about, to say the oil is not ours, because we are not addressing this issue that for us into owning these resources, we need to put muscle on. We need to put money on. We need to including our workers on.
Exactly.
Who is representing the workers so that they can also become a part of the wealth of the resources? So those are the type of things. Those are the people that I want them to see. Who is representing somebody here? Or just in there to addressing, sometimes you're making complications like Ramaphosa is doing.
Yeah.
So, Mike, let us not finishing up the day. But that is what I want him to know.
Yeah.
That president is he representing who in the state house? Not in the government, but in the state house. If he representing the citizen of this country, he must also look at what is the problem that are eating up Namibia.
Yeah.
And asking accountability to those ministers, governors that he's putting on those areas.
Exactly. So their accountability is there.
Including her party members.
Yeah.
He must look at also the majority that are voting their party.
Yeah.
Are they really represented by the people that are voting them? That are putting on in front?
Yeah. It's the whole question, like talking about fast tracking the implementation of this. It's not just about talk about we need to fast track this. Let's identify what are the issues. The thing is that maybe the people that I do have, are they actually the problem? Maybe they are not competent enough. So, what is that needed? What doesn't make us, what is that keep us stuck?
Yeah. So, you cannot just discussing about diamond, but you are not discussing who is representing us to negotiating this diamond, really.
Yeah.
We don't have that one. We are just digging out the diamond out of the sand you're putting there in Namibia. At the end of the day, you don't have a negotiator. When you go to the auction, the people are saying, we don't want Namibia. But you don't have somebody who is convincing those buyers to buy your things. So those are the type of things that I'm sorry.
All right, man.
All right. Man.
Thanks for coming through. All right, 333-6609. We dissecting and unpacking the president's message to her cabinet and to the whole nation So, yeah, let me throw this out to you, Namibia. What do you want? What do you want from our from your government in 2026? What do you want from your government in 2026? All right. So, not really, definitely not vague promises. You know, those that are not clear, like, you know, specific things, better schools, you know, more jobs, cheaper food security, you know, safer communities. For me, faster internet. I want fast internet, you know, I want a fast internet. I want a reliable electricity. You know, I want clean water in every village, you know, those are things we're still at this point in time, and we're talking about clean water in every village, you know? But the other things also we should ask ourselves, what am I willing to do to help? You know, what am I willing to do to make that happen? Okay? Because, well, of course, governance isn't just about politician. It's not just about politician. Okay? So because people tend to think just it's about politicians, president, ministers, and all this. No. It's about all of us. Okay? Sometimes it's the kind of attitude, the national pride that we have as individual. It's about attitude, national pride, you know, that we have as an individual. The common good that we want to achieve as a nation, you know, we all have to be, it's like we are on a team. It's like a team. If we're all playing together and everybody has a role to play. And I believe this is the role I need to play. This is the role I'm playing by creating awareness and really discussing certain things and said, hey, you're overlooking this. Did you check this? We're bringing up these questions to
for us to dissect, for us to dial, to have a conversation, you know, bringing up issues that, so, and you doing wherever you are, as I said, it's about all of us. Are we paying the other things? Are we paying our taxes? They also, that the government doesn't have that because maybe we are not paying our taxes. Are we holding our local council accountable? We're talking about accountability. Are we participating in a community development? Eh? There are some rich people that are in your area, but, you know, they have about 5-10 cars in their garage. And they live in the community that is actually poor. What are you doing with 10 cars in the garage? Instead of, are you, you know, participating in community development? Are we raising our children to be responsible citizens? That's very important. We would have the generation that comes, you know, sometimes the next generation that comes that have no sense of responsibility to their country, to their community. So someone said democracy is not a spectator sport. It's not a spectator sport. We can't just complain and do nothing. We have to engage. We have to demand better. We have to engage. We have to demand better. Yes, we have to contribute. All right? So, all right. So, yeah, just to wrap up a little bit of what the president first cabinet meeting of the year. The government is feeling the heat, if you can put it way. They are feeling the heat. They know they have limited time to deliver on their promises before the next election. So the pressure is on to show a real result from NDP 6. So that's the pressure. That's the president's warning or actually urging the minister to take kufikwe ngaku. That's what he said, kufikwe ngaku. So, and Namibia is navigating a very tricky, also the president talked about that we are navigating in a very tricky and unpredictable world. You know, the president is warning her team now to be smart. Be smart, be principled, and be united. So, because the old rules of global politics don't apply anymore, you know? So, karawalungujja, even when you go outside, you know, be smart, be principled, So, and she also called on for business unusual. She called for business unusual is a, when we call and when she called for business unusual, that's actually a direct admission that the status quo is failing. The status quo is failing. The government knows it cannot continue with the business as usual. So if it wants to meet its goals, it has to be a business unusual. Because if you continue with the business as usual, nothing gonna happen. So, yeah, the president has sent a very demanding tone. Actually has set a very demanding tone for the year ahead. And she told her team to move faster, to be smarter, and to deliver. So the real question for us, is this, will this urgency now, this urgency translate into real, tangible improvement in our lives? As the caller was saying, you know, would it actually translate into tangible improvement in our lives? That's what people care about. Okay. Or will it just be a lot of hot air to create a sense of action? So sometimes, you know, you have someone look so busy, but actually there's just nothing happening. There's that sense of action, but actually there's nothing happening. So, yeah. And, as I said, I went to look at some of the, you're most welcome to come through. and react to the president's message, if you are listening, and maybe things that we have highlighted as well here. 08-333-66091. 08-333-66091. So do come through and have your reaction. This is a national, you know, conversation. This is a national conversation on issues that matters, that affect our day-to-day lives. So when we come back, so we look at what did the previous administration promise? What were the previous administration promise, and what did they actually deliver? What has been delivered, and you know, where are we in terms of that? So we're looking at that. I look at some of the few things that we can pull up. So yeah, still stay tuned. We'll be back in a short while.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kabuna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe kupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira seoma, kodora heta tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend.
All right, welcome back. And a very good morning to you. Our time is 20 minutes past the hour of 9. And you are tuning to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. All right. So I want to quickly look at this. You know, we're looking at some of the things we talked about earlier also. So I want us to compare. Let's hold up President Nantin Natumba Ndaitwa. Let's hold them their cabinet priority against the track record of previous administration. No sugarcoating. We shouldn't be sugarcoating. No party politics. Just facts. Okay. An honest analysis looking at that. Because now the other things that you have to understand here is that the president, Nandi Ndaitwa was a vice president under the previous administration. She was part of that cabinet. She sat in those meetings. She co-signed those policies. And so when she talked about business unusual, so when she said things must change, she's essentially critiquing a system she was part of. And for me, I would take that as his courage. That's take courage. It takes courage actually to critique something that you are part of. So as much as that's the case, but it also raises some questions as well. So yeah. Now let's rewind a little bit and look at some promises and reality of what happened in previous administration. So now we rewind. President Hage Geingob came into office in 2015. Yeah, 2015. And he came with a lot, with massive, massive expectations. You know, he promised to fight. There are a few things. He promised to fight poverty. And he launched the Harambe Prosperity Plan. So he talked about zero tolerance to corruptions, for corruptions. That was one of the strong point. He wanted Namibia actually to become a logistic hub, you know, an industrialized nation. That was the vision or the expectation. Well, some of the things did happen, you know, we can't deny that. Definitely there are a lot of things that happened. We can't deny that. Infrastructure project moved forward. There was a lot of infrastructure project during the time of Geingob. Roads were built. There were a number of roads that were built. The port expanded. We signed deal for green hydrogen. This was also his baby. So we signed a lot of deals for green hydrogen. The country maintained also a relative stability. We maintained that. Yeah. But let's talk about what didn't happen. Okay. So there's so much things that happened, but let's talk also about what didn't happen or what happened too slow. Yeah. Too slowly. Okay. Maybe we can look at that. What happened too slowly? All right. Now, unemployment. It got worse, not better. So unemployment got worse, not better. Your youth unemployment became a national crisis. Graduate couldn't find work. The informal sectors exploded because people had no option, has no other options, you know. And the Geingob administration talk about job creation constantly, but the number told a different story. So from the previous administration already, you know, job creation, you know, has been something we talked about, you know, even in the previous administration, but the number really talk a different story. So you see where we're coming from. So now it didn't get better. So unemployment hasn't improved, you know, and then you ask the question, where are we? Where are we? Do we see any improvement? So there's not much to compare so much now. Like, okay, we need to still to, you know, we still have actually have to have maybe 3 years in Nanti Datumbo, Meme Netumbo's administration to be able now to compare to see has there any improvement now. For 1 year, really, that's a short period. But I'm highlighting issues that so that you understand that where we're coming from is the same. As I said, it's the same administration. I mean, not the same administration, the same system, if you like, you know. So, and these are issues that are coming from other ministry, from other administration. Do we are paying? Are we paying attention to them? So we're talking about unemployment. What do we see? Do we see deliberate effort or projects or whatever the case may be, or law that actually forcefully try to change that? I think that's why when we're looking at this, that's what I want us to look at. The whole question of corruption, despite zero tolerance promises now, in the previous administration, we saw scandal after scandals. So we're talking about zero tolerance in the previous, but we saw scandal after scandal, fish rod, Chinese construction contracts, you know, procurement irregularities. Yes. Some people were, you know, of course, there were people that were arrested. There were still some people, but did we see conviction? Up to now, have you seen conviction? Did we recover stolen money? There was so much money actually stolen. Yeah? And up to now, we haven't recovered. We didn't recover the stolen money. Did the system actually change? Do we see, now, when we're talking about corruption, now, do we see anything that has changed to suggest that it's working differently? So from where now we had all this problem, we saw scandal after scandal, fish rot, you know, the whole question of procurement irregularities. So now, from that system that still didn't, that get worse, that this happened, what has changed? So this is where now we have to go deeper. This is where now we need to focus and say, what have changed? So because we may want change, but do we see it concretely? Do we see, and that's what the other previous caller, the caller was saying, do we see the change? Do we see that translated into real, if we're talking corruption, zero tolerance for promises, you know, in terms of that, what do we see that now? What do we see? It's treason. Our president now said it's actually treason. Okay? Is there any, in terms of system, do we see any change? Because if you have the same system and you would want to do something different, that's called, this is what called sanity. You know? Doing the same thing, expecting a different result. That's insane. So one of the things this government is focusing on is the service delivery. So now, from the previous administration, you know, this has been an issue. It has been still an issue. Go to any government hospitals. Talk to teachers about resources. Visit rural areas and ask about water. Ask entrepreneurs about how long it takes to maybe to register their business or get permits. The machinery of government remain slow, bureaucratic, and frustrating. What has changed?
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weza ko ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu Weriro ngere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwe imba Una ovi unedia peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwesto Tuika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva Owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva Owa peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva Owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano Komiyede murongo na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukite. Ashi esho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owyegu haka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
Okay, welcome back. So our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 9. So, yeah. So when we comparing, you know, when we're looking at that, when we're comparing, you're not necessarily just, you know, kind of pushing down. I mean, looking down to kind of like, looking at, how would I say it, the previous, administration and said, well, they didn't do anything. This is the wrong thing. They have done. No, that's not what we're looking. We're looking at the issues, you know, to say, you know, for years now, you know, the previous administration have been looking at these issues, it has gone, you know, those issues has intensified or magnified, you know, has increased. So, and do we see a complete change now to address those issues? That's what we're looking at. That's what we want to assess. So it's not just about the talk that you hear, but look at the reality. Now, I want to, our whole idea is to go really to the reality. What were the issues? What were the some of the issues that we promised to address in the previous? And do we see anything moving? Eh? Do we see those things? Do we see changes in terms of some of these issues? All right? And we acknowledge from the beginning that, yes, there are a lot of things, there are certain things that have changed You know, I talked about infrastructure in terms of road network and other things, but it's looking at some of these basic things, some of these pressing issues that have been, you know, for our people in Namibia, has there, especially when it comes to these issues. A very good morning to you.
Yes, Mike.
Yes, man.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
We are fine too.
Yeah.
Same old.
Yeah, there are issues that, you know, we're not getting better. And
exactly.
And you know what? Sometimes I don't know whether this is something within us as, I don't want to say African, but there are really issues. Let's say, for example, I'm giving an example where we depend on other countries for our food security. So one of the dream, this is our founding fathers' dreams, is actually to rely on ourselves. And he used to talk about that a country that cannot feed itself, you know, cannot be proud of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's something that he used to talk about quite a lot. So, and we understand, and when you look at that, if I'm gondiri mumbonde, okudia kwange mumbo, ambara 60%, or high feed dingwa, if you kwina kanangarapo, when others now, the thing on it, and I, nakatu nasha on, you know, something happened. Yeah. And,
what the problem is, the way I see our country, I think, we are people who are already, we have a crisis of leadership. Because what I'm saying though, sometimes, as a leader, you can just act the way you want.
Yeah.
The way you can chase the journalist asking questions about your family.
Yeah.
Why we not do that with a candidate making a decision? Like, yeah. But I know, after 6 months, you guys, there's no more food coming from outside. That is what we want to see. Credit decision. If I can call it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because now look, we talk, if you can talk, we've been talking for 6 years about how we are going to sustain ourselves, how we are going to reduce the high unemployment, how we are going to have service delivery. Up to now, we're still talking the same story.
Yeah.
Over and over. Everybody come in. Talking, because we know our problem, but just to address our problem with a crazy decision, we are not doing it.
Like now, you are a learned person. I'm sitting here. I can look at NDP. I have looked at the NDP and then Harambe Prosperity. You know, now when we're talking about that issue of unemployment, job creation, for example, you know, what you can see. You can all see the projection in terms of, you know, if green hydrogen worked, this is how many people that we will employ. Okay. If oil and gas work, if that comes through, this is how many people that we're going to employ. It's all for forecasting and things like that. But you don't see a plan that beside that, how do we get our youth? How do we get employment to our youth who are actually sitting on the street? All right. So yes, there are a few things that we can say. National Youth, we're looking at the fund, the National Youth Fund that has been established, you know, to create for those who are coming up with things. So that's one of them. But is that enough in terms
of
Yeah.
our problem?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so, because there are a few people who are qualifying for it.
Yeah, exactly. But how do, when you look at the regions, you look at the Kavango region, you look at Zambezi regions where farming and other things youth can be able to do now to create food security. And there isn't anything at all that kind of like a 5-year, even if we look at now 5-year strategic plan, it doesn't really say what are we doing to see results next year,
to see, to have actually take half of the youth or whatever the case may be. That's what Mike, frustrating. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Mike,
mm.
our problem is that we have a good plan. We are good, everything, ideas are there. But for execution, I mean, for implementing
yeah.
is where we are lacking. And as a leader, he said, no, sometimes we need the credit.
But sometimes, Mandume, when as we said we have... No, when we yeah. said we have a good, sometimes when we said we have a good policies and things like that, sometimes
yeah.
if they are not implementable, that means they are not good.
They are not. No, they are good. Huh?
Eh?
Only that the people you need to move the mountain.
Yeah. So that means people don't understand it. Yeah. Mm.
You need to bring a what blue dodge.
Yeah.
So stand up again. Make sure you open the. People need to prefer that. Who are not doing job.
Mm.
People need to be replaced. People need to be what? How can I put it the way? If you are director now, you become even a secretary who doesn't even a portfolio or something.
Yeah.
Now, look.
Actually, you're asking how many these directors, how many of them have been in the system for too long? For 20
for
years.
For too long. And the things are not working.
Being just and recycled.
They are still running the show.
Yeah.
Up to now, when I think they are still learning the show, but they've been there for some. They've been there for since 90.
Mm.
Up to there today.
Keep someone who's keep after every 5 years. Every 5 years, keep someone who is working. You know, after that administration, keep someone who is working. Who is not working, let them go. Let them
we
go.
We need to come up. We need to come up with a system where 5 years contract. And
yeah.
if you know we are not performing, go, my friend. You can't keep it, you can't have even a, and you remember, the problem I think we have here in Namibia is that we don't have people who can make a decision
mm.
like what we are seeing. Because you need a group of people who you can rely on. That, okay, you know, we all, how many of us we've been happy when the president dismissed, the former Minister of Energy?
Yeah.
Even though we don't know really a lot of detail, except that yes, there and there, but up to now, we still have in the Minister of Labor.
Mm.
And we have capable people who are doing the better, like James Sangwasa and Nekundi. But where's the others? Why the others are quiet? Minister of Labor, if you can see, how that's why this country is not going anywhere, because people are working for belly.
Yeah.
The salary, they got to mono, commit to make.
Mm.
You don't have that money. Huh? Whatever. And the funny thing is that when you're talking about food security, not only about food security, you're also creating employment in that process.
Yeah,
where
yeah,
you
definitely.
Can have
an yeah.
expert working in that, and they have also semi-skilled labor, and they have none, I mean, the school dropout. The people who don't have any qualification.
We talk about beneficiation. Yeah, we talk mm. about beneficiation. And if
yeah.
I remember, there was money for this 25-26 budget about
mm.
processing plant for every region.
Yeah, every region. I heard that one.
Eh?
And then, do you think that money was there or just...
Mm. Well, it was bad. Well, whether that's the government was supposed to, because that was in the budget for this year. So at least when it comes now to say what, where the actual money now given to the region and things like that, well, that's a different story. But for us, we know there
yeah.
was budgeted.
Well,
if it's budgeted,
like
so we well, want to
I,
hear. Yeah.
Is that one in the what, the school to be built?
Yeah.
You remember August 26th, there was also something allocation like about to the school to be built around. Because now we're having like a 1,000 something kids without a school.
Mm.
And then now I see some school in even with, they are already electing 10. Those kids to be taught in the 10. And then you're wondering now, if you already, you have a budget for it, why if you are having a lot of unembraced youth in the street, you have artisans who come from VTC, some women doing what? They are working in shop right now. Some women, they are driving taxi.
Yeah.
Some, they are, why we don't cater those people? I think is what we need also is evaluation of what skill in Namibia. Then you give those people opportunity. We don't want any more this middleman of tenders. No, give opportunity, because now you give a tender and this person, he take the whole amount of money, he go to Germany to buy what? G-Wagon. And that money is supposed to be circulating in the country, where you are getting more revenue, collecting of when it comes to tax.
Yeah.
So I think it's that time, maybe VTC to be given chance. Because we are almost having them in the 14th region. Where you saying, okay, you guys are in the third year. Come. What we need here, we have a broken table in the Ponofi Secondary School. We are going there with a wetting machine and everything.
Yeah.
Then you guys do it. We have a what? A broken cable when it comes to electricity. Now you guys who are doing a third year, this will be your job attachment. And whatever you get allowance there, it's for you. So, this tender is what I think we are failing. And this tender is really, really getting a lot, I mean, taking a lot of money out of the what? Out of our government. And as a people, I think it's a hard time to wake up. And we're talking about even the agriculture.
Mm.
Agriculture, some are producing, like a chumel. You know where they are watermelon and they are what? You name it, banana and everything.
Yeah,
end up.
Yeah.
Stop and shop. But our kids are eating every day when it comes to what? At the hostel.
At the hostels.
And the hostel.
Hospitals.
Why don't procure locally? Why don't procure locally? We cannot, you cannot even stop the South African product to come in. They can come in.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you are empowering those two map guys to employ more people. Okay, at the end of the day, we have money allocated when you.
But the reason why, the other thing is that the reason why they are not they are not producing at the capacity, it's because of financial support.
Problem, you because know? Now nobody's buying it.
Yeah.
In the huge amount. You are selling a box of gum.
Yeah.
Or maybe when you went to tax shop. And are we dealing with somebody like that? That
it's, is it's the financing. Same way with it's financing.
Our Mahango. You remember when Namibia used to buy from the people from
That's
the
a quick commercial coming up, and then we...
Okay, I can hold on.
Yeah.
So just to wrap up,
Attention all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February, 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
All right,
Michael, for my conclusion is that, you know, the problem I think we have in Namibia is that everything we just try to have a middleman in. That's why when they used to buy a mahango in the north, there was a guy who was coming on the behalf of Namibia and Namibian mayor.
But sometimes sometimes the middleman came in because of, I think it there was that lack of competence in terms of delivery.
Yeah.
And then the middleman came in because of being effective, you know, and be able to drive to actually deliver on time and on the quantity that is actually expected. So expensive, it's expensive, but that was some of the reasons.
But for me, what I want us to do, we must adapt the way of the Botswana, the way they are operated in their government.
Yeah.
Botswana, when they are giving you a tender, they decide that how much you are going to pay the engineer, the quantity surveyor, the labor, the what everybody, even the general labor will just, the action. They know exactly how much. then how much you are going to left that with you, how much you are going to spend in the material which you are going to use. You see?
Yeah.
But here in Namibia, my friend, the labor will become less to be paid.
Mm.
And the person is already driving a maloka without even starting one cabrick. It's already a thing, you see. Those are problems I think we have in Namibia.
Yeah.
Then it's a, this is a conduit which you are talking about. If you have a, I'm telling you, if you are having a leader, who can just fire that person with a threat and recover the amaloka to be sold so the people can get paid? That's what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in Namibia, everybody's just getting away with it.
Yeah, no, that's the accountability is, it's a really big issue. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big issue in Namibia. That's why we are, we can have so many policies which you are talking about, good one, but no, if it is not accountability, there's no way we are moving this country.
Yeah.
And it's what I see that we are, we, Meme, she started very well when she fired the minister. And everybody will thought, yes, things are going to be different. Now, instead of firing, a lot of people are not working. That one is paining me.
Yeah.
Because we are living in the 36th year, sir.
Yeah.
And we are not Uganda. We are not Zimbabwe. Seriously.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Let me give other people a chance.
Thanks for coming through.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, very good morning. Good morning to you, my dear listener. And welcome. And what I'm looking at, in terms of, I'm looking at some of these pressing issues that they are not just, it's not like when we're talking about unemployment, it's not just something we woke up now with the new administration and said, we have a problem for unemployment. No, we're looking about 10 years already. We're looking about 10, 15, 20 years. This has been actually, you know, last several 10 years has been growing. And it's not that we wake up now in this administration and think, whoa. There is unemployment exploded. No, it's something that has been growing. It's something that is there something that we're doing that actually leads to this? And sometimes you can, you know, patch up the wound, but if you really don't treat the wound, you know, to get healed, you just, the patch won't help, would help temporarily at that point in time, but, you know, and we need to go deeper. So that's why looking at even service delivery that we're talking about from the previous, this is an issue that has been there. As I said, go to the hospital, go to ask a teacher, talk to a teacher about resources in schools, talk to, you know, visit rural areas and ask about water. There are still villages that, you know, have no water, have no clean waters. Eh? Talk to your entrepreneurs. It's not just something now happen now, like kind of like we experience this problem now. So it's things that we knew, things that have develop over time. So, and as I said, the government has, when it comes to entrepreneurs, has been always this, the machinery of the government has remained very slow, remained bureaucratic, remained, you know, frustrating. Economic diversification. The economic diversification. It's not something that when we talk about diversification, it becomes something big, becomes something that every minister, talk about. But we still, you know, this is something that comes long away. We're still heavily dependent on certain sectors. We're heavily dependent on mining. We're heavily dependent on fishing. You know, the green hydrogen project is promising, but that's still actually early stages, but it's also something that we don't hear quite often anymore. Eh? It's just gone quiet. Absolutely quiet. Eh? So where is the manufacturing base? Where are the value added in industries? Eh? And this is not just coming with this administration. This is things that coming long time ago. Eh? Where are the value added industries? We're talking about, as I said, there was money, for every region,
hopefully, well, budget. Whether there was actual money, that's a different story. So, for value-added industries. And we're still exporting raw materials and importing finished goods. We talk about it. How long do we do this? And here's my question, yeah? If the president, you know, if the president was part of the cabinet last time, so, and you understand all this challenge and kind of like has failed in terms of those challenges. So, did she push this? Did she push for different approaches during that time? Did she go along with the consensus? I mean, the question is that those issues were there, and part of the people that are in a new administration, they were part of the old one. It's not this is a surprise now, or this is surprising, you know? So one is that the president is a SWAPO member. You know, the previous president was a SWAPO, was also SWAPO, same party, same broad ideology, same support base, same appointed many of the same faces to her cabinet. And to be fair to her, you know, she really appointed different faces. But you still have some old guard in there. So you still have some ministers that have been recycled multiple times across different portfolios. You understand? Now, when she talks about business unusual, and think about that, that is the same party, the same ideology, same support base, the same, you know, when she talks about business unusual, what is exactly unusual? The faces are familiar. The party is the same. The bureaucracy is the same. The system are the same. Eh? Is business unusual just a slogan, or does she genuinely plan to operate differently? Genuinely, she may, but there are a lot of things. Genuinely, in her heart, she wants the best of this country. But I'm talking about the issue here is about system. It's still the same bureaucratic system. That's why sometimes they have to go outside the bureaucratic system to get things done. Why don't you change the system? So here's what I want to see for me. I want to see specific breaks from the past. You know, not just rhetoric, actual policy changes, really actual policy changes, actual accountability measures, that there are measures, you know, for accountability. And there are actual timeline with consequences. If someone have done something, you know, we want to see that this is what is happening. That's what I want to see. The actual accountability measures. Not just talk about it. So we have seen, for example, maybe we keep giving, I'm saying this publicly. I have to make a campaign for Sankwasu to be the next president. Okay. See, so there were certain things according to the person be able to say the law, this is the policy, and you haven't been actually doing what the policy requires. So get out, dissolve this, you know, get people who can come in and that's what you want. That's why I said actual accountability measures. Actual timeline with consequences. It's not just you hear this has happened and it takes about years and you completely forgot there was something like that and you never heard about it again. You know? So, for example, the previous admission talked about cutting government spending. Did it happen? No, didn't happen. The cabinet has been reduced. Yeah, of course, the cabinet has been reduced, but remain still. It has been reduced from this. It has been reduced, but remain bloated, still remain bloated. The civil servant kept growing. So will the president, you know, actually slim down the government in terms of wage bill? Because that's a big, big problem. That's a big problem. Will she merge what we have seen, merging, you know, some redundant ministries, you know, into one ministries? You know, that's a good thing that we have seen. So, we need to see the actual things, be able to touch it, smell it, and feel it. That's what we need to see. We don't just need to hear. This is what is, and many people have actually, you know, are tired. So the president is calling for accelerated implementation of NDP-6. And that's fair enough. But, you know, so what is the time now? All right. So, yeah. So that's the, what is the president is actually asking for, accelerated implementation of NDP-6. Yeah. So, and there are issues. Definitely there are issues. There needs a lot of change that has to come with us. Yeah. So the president says we only have about 4 years left, and that's true, but it's not like the previous administration didn't know. They had limited time. So every government has a limited time. There's no one who have plenty of time to do what they want. Every government has a limited time. The question is whether you use that time effectively. Someone can do. We talked about, there has been talk about Burkina Faso, certain changes that have been done within 2 years, within a year. And what has been achieved in few years, in 2 to 3 years, compared to a government that has been there for centuries. It's what you do with the time you have. All right? Yeah, well, our time is about 10 o'clock. And that's bring us actually to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. I'm gonna leave you in the hand of Tate France, who's coming up now with Kuthamosha. Make sure that you stay tuned. And there's so many other programs that are coming your way during the course of the day. Make sure that you stay tuned. From me, Mike, I wish you a very pleasant day ahead, and to make sure that you are productive and you're contributing to the well-being of this beautiful country. So each one of us have a role to play and play yours. From me, Mike, I'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye for now.